Let's all say it together. Just go over and say it. Say it. Destiny. Come on, let's say it again. Destiny. Oh, again. Destiny. You know, God has a destiny for your life. God has a destined purpose. God has a destined plan. God has a destiny for your marriage. He has a destiny for your family, for your children. God has a destiny for me, for you, for every person in this room. God has a destiny for this church. God has a destiny for people that are outside these walls. And that's what we're all about. God has a destined plan for every life of every person on this earth. I want you to know, God's plan is not a negative plan. God's plan has a happy ending. If people miss that destiny, it's because they didn't respond and make choices to follow the Lord. But I want you to know, don't say, well, they were destined for that bad thing to happen. That's not who God is. God's never destined for any bad thing to happen to anyone. God's got a good plan for every person. The definition of destined is to appoint and ordain beforehand, as by divine decree, to foreordain, predetermine. Destiny is defined a predetermined state, a condition foreordained by divine will. 4 years ago, Countryside Christian Center came to a crossroads of destiny. Were we going to coast, be satisfied with the status quo? Were we going to have a maintained mentality? Or were we going to step out in faith and follow God's heart and plan to expand our outreach and to reach this community? And so we made that decision. We came to that crossroad of destiny, and we chose a road, and now we're on that road. We're following the Lord. And that destiny is literally unfolding before us. And you can see part of it happening right out there as we're following the Lord in this. You know, many of you responded. You made a decision. You stood in faith. And as you stood in faith and in your prayer and labor and sacrifice, that because of that step of faith, because of God's vision to us, to think, I mean, this, it's a miracle that in the period of time we've been raising funds, that we've raised, I mean, just very short, about $100,000 short of $9 million. $9 million. $9 million. And there are many testimonies of people all over these church, all over this church, and the things that have happened as they followed the Lord, as they obeyed, and the blessing that came upon their lives. I know that this has been 4 years ago since we started this, and there's a lot of new people in the church, and I think more even in the second service. But how many of you have been a part of this in some way? Let me see, that you were part of Crossroads of Destiny, and you contributed, or you were part of that. Would you mind to raise your hands up? Now, I want you to look around, and now I want you to put your hands down. Now, I want to ask you this. How many of you, because of that, you've seen increase in your life or God's blessing in some way? You know that it's a direct result of your obedience and faith to the Lord. Now, look at the hands. Now, look at the hands. Look at the hands. God's word is true. God's word is true. So today we are moving into the next step of God's plan for us. Destiny, next chapter. The spiritual venture is literally going to determine the destiny of Countryside Christian Center. And it's going to affect your destiny as well. Our destiny is always tied up in the things of God. It's never apart from the things of the Lord. And so for the next 6 Sundays, they're going to be sharing some exciting experiences with you. It's going to be an exciting experience. It's going to be a life-changing experience, I believe. 28 days. We're going to have 28 days of seeking the Lord. Next week, you're going to get a 28-day devotional. We're going to hand them out. Those of you, how many of you were here last week? Can I see your hands? So you heard me talk about it. And for those 28 days, we're challenging you to really seek the Lord. I was so encouraged, overwhelming response of you as a congregation, that we're going to fast, we're going to pray, we're going to get into the Word, we're going to seek the Lord with all of our heart. We're going to make it a priority, that we're going to put aside other things to show God we mean business. And that not only to fast meals or fast as God leads you, I'm not going to give you a prescribed fast, but that we're really going to give up some things that mean a lot in the flesh. We're going to lay those down. I said, it may be coffee. Man, I got some oohs on that one, you know, but we're going to fast. We're going to fast meals, no matter whatever between you and the Lord. I've encouraged the whole congregation to fast TV. I mean, do you think somehow you will actually live and survive and not die 28 days without TV? I mean, do you think you can make it? Let me see. How many think you can make it? There's going to be a lot of funerals. I see that. I mean, do you really believe you can do that? Let me see. Yeah. Let me see. I want to see your hands. I think that's a real sacrifice. And I think you're going to find out in the peace and the quiet and getting all those, you know, really evil voices out of our home. And sit, we just put the kids, just get rid of them, put them in front of TV. You know, God wants to spend time with our kids. If we're going to watch TV, then show Christian DVDs to the kids. And let's just sanctify this whole month. Say, this is God's month. We're going to dedicate the TV to God. We're dedicating our house to God. We're dedicating the things we do, where we go. For 1 month, we're going to seek the Lord, and we're going to know God is going to do great things in answering us. So that's God's challenge to you. And so you might say, well, I don't want any part of that. You know, I don't know that's the Lord. Wait a minute. It's not, God doesn't want you to seek him with all your heart for 28 days. And that you say, I don't want to be a part of that. I want us to really think about that. Whether you're in another church or not, you know, let's really make an effort to seek the Lord. I shared last week, it's just almost like I saw it. Just, you know, that here's the angelic beings in heaven and they're looking down. You know, and it's just, there's this darkness, and they look down over clear water, and there's this glowing light. And they're saying, what's going on there, Father? And they say, man, they are fasting and praying. They mean business. Things are happening in that place because they're seeking me with their heart. Do you believe that? Oh, I know it. That's what brings breakthrough into our lives, breakthrough for God's purposes. So for these next 6 Sundays, I want to encourage you to be here every week. They're going to unfold. We're just going to take it step by step by step. And there's going to be can't miss events going on in the church, just like the gospel sing and the breakfast for the prime timers. There is going to be an opportunity for you to see the inside of the building and what's going on there. You're going to be amazed, I think, when you see it. We're also going to have an opportunity to see some really cool new virtual reality stuff and to see some redesign, especially of the kids' areas. I'm so excited about that, maybe more than the sanctuary. What's going to happen with our kids? What's going to happen in this room as this becomes a youth center for kids in this Clearwater in Tampa Bay area? It's going to explode. It's going to explode. It's going to explode. It's going to explode. And you're also going to have questions, I believe, answered. And that you're going to see the vision very clearly as you come. And that there's other going to be some real cool things that are going to be taking place just in these next 6 weeks. Today, I want to share with you, I want to talk about Destiny Next Chapter. And I want to talk about the force of a vision. Do you have your Bibles? Father, we thank you for your presence, for who you are. I thank you for a loving people that have a heart after you. Lord, they want to walk in your will. They want to be used. They want to see your kingdom come on earth. Lord, the heart of this church, Lord, and this people are to see kids, Lord, that are out there just hopeless, desperate conditions, Lord. Drugs and alcohol and pornography and all the stuff, Lord, and fornication. And Lord, we know you want to touch their hearts. We want to be used. We want to be a part of that. I thank you, Lord, for the heart of this church. We thank you today as you unfold vision to our hearts, open our hearts to it. We thank you for your word and for the truth of this word. We stand on it. We believe it and that you'll perform it. And so I thank you today for your anointing as you speak and minister to our hearts by your spirit and be glorified in this place. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, when God called me and saved me, I had a radical experience with the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't have time to talk about all that this morning, but most of you know I was involved in a car accident, and there were drugs involved. I was back then in my hippie days and with marijuana or hallucinogenic drugs, although I wasn't addicted to addictive drugs, but that almost cost me my life. But I was actually in my confusion and by the satanic power that was luring me, I thought that maybe the answer was in death and finding God. And God, in his grace, spared my life. And while I was in the hospital and I was recovering, I was really just thanking God. I was reading the word, seeking the Lord with all my heart. And that the Lord made himself real to me. And I had out-of-body experience with the Lord. I literally had an out-of-body experience. I don't know to this day if I was dying or not. But, you know, at the time, I was crying out to the Lord, saying, God, give me another chance to live. And that the Lord, as he heard me, just he put me back down in my body. And I was so filled and elated with joy, gratitude, that God was real. Oh, and that I did not die. And I instinctively knew that God had a purpose for my life. And that the only way it was going to happen and be fulfilled is I would do it God's way. I knew that. I knew it. I knew that one day I was going to meet him. I knew he was there. I knew I'd wasted, you know, all those years living in sin and self-centeredness till the age of 24. And these verses meant so much to me when I found them in the Word. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. A foreordained plan. I was aware that God had a foreordained plan for my life. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 9. If you've been coming to this church, you've heard it. Who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. A purpose. That I was aware that God had a purpose. Man, I had a new heart and a passion to know God's plan and purpose for my life. And I knew I can't miss this. And I began to seek the Lord. Man, all the stuff in my life changed. That was it. Just the drugs and everything that went with that whole culture, all that stuff. Just, I'm going to walk this straight and narrow. I'm following Jesus. I'm doing it his way. My way almost brought destruction to me. And I really began to seek the Lord. I was a young Christian. I hadn't yet found a church that was really Spirit-filled. But about a year and a half later, I came to that place where I was about to make a decision, and the Lord intervened. He intervened in it. It just didn't happen the way I thought it was going to happen. And he gave me a time period. And that as I was wrestling with this decision, something that would have changed the course of my life. It wasn't a bad thing. But that God spoke to me, saying, it was not my plan for your life. It's not what I have for you. And at that time, I was not in ministry yet. I've shared this before, that I had a vision, and God spoke to me. And this doesn't happen all the time, not like this happened. I mean, the Lord spoke to me. And he said, if you do that, you're going to miss the plan that I have for your life. If you can do it, go ahead. But you're never going to find fulfillment. You're never going to find, you know, what I really created you to do. And if you miss it, not only are you going to miss the destiny that I have for your life, You're going to be responsible. I wasn't in ministry for thousands and thousands of souls that are not going to be in my kingdom. I was overwhelmed. I wept. You know, what would you say? I said, God, how can I not follow you? And I surrendered. I'd surrendered before, but I mean, there was something, there was a real surrender in my heart, just laying it all down. That I wanted to know his will more than anything and please him. About 9 months later, I left my vocation in auto design. I knew the Lord was getting me close to that place. The Lord had been preparing me for it. And I went into full-time ministry then, in the summer of 1970. For $100 a week. And I was thrilled. I mean, I was so excited to enter into this adventure and this faith walk. It was exciting. The first summer that ministry started, there was like all these kids came from all over the whole city. It was now what we call the Jesus Movement. We'd never heard of the Jesus Movement then. We didn't know anything was happening anywhere else in the country. And kids came from everywhere. And that first summer, we baptized hundreds of kids. baptized them, hundreds. There were so many kids that they were lined up around the block with their cars and standing out in front. It was the thing that was happening in that city that summer. And all the kids, you know, that adults had problems with. And all the business were upset because all these kids were coming down there. All the churches were upset because these were the kind of kids, you know, that were down there. You know, we knew we were on the right track. I was there for 10 years, and literally we saw thousands of young people, I'm not exaggerating, give their lives to the Lord Jesus Christ. And it was an exciting time. And they were saved and turned on. And we started a Christian training center at that time that was a two-year program and with a year Paul Timothy program. And that mission that God put in my life back then, before I ever came here, has never changed. I want you to know that. The vision, the mission has never changed. It's to preach the gospel, it's to bring salvation to people, and then it's to disciple people and to train them that they can find their purpose to walk in what God has for them. Those young people served in local churches. There's some today still in church staffs. There's some that we had ministries that started then. They're still involved in those ministries, going to nursing homes, going to a detention center. They're still there, still doing that. After all these years, their kids are grown up now and have kids, and they're still being faithful. There were men and women that began to pastor churches and that went out as a missionary. The first man I was privileged to lead to Jesus, they are full-time missionaries right now overseas. So it was an exciting time, and that's the mission for this church. And that I want you to know that the life-changing vision that I had, it's still the passion of my life. It's not wavered. It's not changed. I'm not looking for a course or for a direction, what God has for me next. And it really has been an awesome faith venture. Now, I know that vision is not completed. And I also know that vision, what's happening out there is part of that, and it's literally unfolding before our very eyes. Yeah, it means more to me. Because this has been in my heart for years and years and years. When we built this building, it was in my heart. And that's why we built this room with a flat floor. Because we saw it as a youth center someday. That we would have the option, if we wanted to have volleyball or have basketball in here. I see Brother Wes Small was here. I see him shaking his head. Yes, he remembers. And that's always been the vision. I want you to know that. So this isn't something that just came out of nowhere. These are the things God put on my heart before I ever even moved to Clearwater, Florida. So the expansion of this ministry, it's more than just what I want to do. I have a mandate from the Lord. It's the fulfilling of a vision. It's a call that God gave me years ago that continues to impassion my heart. Apostle Paul said, I've not been obedient to the heavenly vision. After he'd been in ministry some 20 years. I want today to talk about the force of vision. The force of vision births God's sovereign plans. It impacts the world. It changes lives. I want us to read that together, can we? The force of vision births God's sovereign plans, impacts the world, and changes lives. The Bible says, without a vision, people perish. With no vision, there would have been no young people that got saved at all. Without a vision, this church would never be here. Without a vision, those apostles would never have gone out. Without a vision, all the things that have happened by the gospel, they would never have happened. All God's plans for man are preceded by vision, with vision. God always brings a vision. Moses received a vision of setting 2.5 million Israelites free. It looked impossible. Joshua and Caleb, they caught the vision. And they overcame huge obstacles and trials, bringing the children of Israel into the promised land. It was vision. Nehemiah had a vision to go and rebuild Jerusalem after the Babylonian captivity. And he brought that vision to the king of Syria. And as he went, he found favor there and got provision even from the king. And went back to Jerusalem. It was in a rubbish heap and rallied the people as he shared the vision. And fighting oppression, fighting both enemies inside and outside, that he overcame these overwhelming obstacles and that vision became reality. Started with vision. David received a vision to build a house for God. And he shared that vision with and through his passion with the people. And the people responded. And David raised all the resources that were needed. And then Solomon, his son, afterward built that house. But David prepared. And the vision was fulfilled. And that it became the center of God's dealing, not only with Israel, but with the nations of the earth. And God dwelt in that house. Started with a vision. Started with that heart and that passion. Peter had a vision. Remember, it was a sheep that came down from heaven. It was a vision of the Jews and Gentiles that were going to become together as the church, the body of Christ. And he gave his life for that vision as that vision was accomplished. Paul had a vision. He had many visions. He saw them in Macedonia as God told him to come. But Paul had a vision for the church as no other apostle. His vision, his passion, his prayer, and that labor in sharing the gospel changed the whole Roman Empire. One man with a vision, putting his trust in God. And through that, the Holy Spirit rallied those people and brought people into the kingdom of God. The second word I want to share with you today is decision. Decision. You know, vision becoming destiny is not guaranteed. God has a destiny for your life, but it's not guaranteed. We must respond to God's vision for it to become reality. We've got to step out in faith. We must obey. You know, God gave me a vision of what I was to do, but if I would not have made a decision to respond and follow him, it never would have happened. God has a destiny for your life. But you're going to have to make a decision. I want God's plan instead of my own because I know it's the only way I'll be fulfilled. And I'm going to make a decision to follow the Lord Jesus. I'm going to make a decision to stand in faith and to obey God, whatever it takes. Abraham left his family and his homeland to trust God, to lead him to a place he never seen and didn't know where he was going. But he made a decision, trust the Lord. Nehemiah, he left the comforts of the palace and a secure government job, working for the king in Medo-Persia. And responding to the vision, he faced what looked like an impossible situation. He made a decision. Moses, Joshua, Caleb, Peter, Paul, they all made decisions. They made decisions to follow the vision and the call that God had on their lives. You may remember in Isaiah, I think it was like chapter 5, when Isaiah had a vision of the Lord. And he said, "Who can I send?" And Isaiah said, "Send me." He made a decision to respond to the vision that he had. And that God used him. See, it seems impossible until we step out and obey. And we don't know quite what's going to happen. You know, and that our flesh and spirit kind of battle together. It seems a little risky. And then fear kind of dominates. Am I going to do this? Am I going to obey God? Can I believe his word? Or are we going to just play it safe? I'll tell you, people that, quote, play it safe are never going to walk in the will of God and find out what God has for their lives. There's not one person that's a person of faith, a man or woman, that played it safe. We can just play it safe, do nothing, become a ho-hum, humdrum, nothing church. Or we can step out in faith. Step out in faith. Amen. Let's praise the Lord. Sometime last week, I'm not sure when, but I had trouble going to sleep one night and all this stuff's going around. And, you know, I was just praying, seeking the Lord. I was just really, you know, trying to just look into his face and asking some hard questions and seeking the Lord. And it must have been 2:30 in the morning. And then in the middle of that, it's like this film came into my mind. A Burt Reynolds film. And it was about faith. And I said, this has got to be God, because, you know, how, I never would have thought of this thing. It's just years old and right in the middle of this to think about this. And so, you know, you determine whether it's God or not, because we're going to go with it. I hope so. But I want to show you a clip of this film. And just wanted to kind of set it up for you here, that there's Burt Reynolds is a stunt man, and he's kind of the honcho, you know, pro that's been doing this. And there's this young guy that's going to think he's a real hot dog, you know. And they're getting ready to do this big stunt, you know. So we're just kind of pick it up. Here we go. Fasten your seatbelt. Here we go.
Action. Go, go, go. What's going on?
I haven't got enough pressure.
What is happening?
My life's worth more than a piece of film.
I'll tell you exactly what your life is worth. Your life is worth $50,000. That's the price you put on it when you got behind this wheel.
Sonny, Ski, if you do not try to make this jump, you'll never work in this town again.
We're going, huh?
We're going, yeah, we're going.
You're crazy.
I'm gonna hit it.
That's what faith is to me. You got the plans, you got the instruction, you know, and then fear grips your heart and you're saying, am I crazy? And then the Spirit of God, you know, speaks to your heart and you make a decision. I'm going for it. And we don't know quite what's going to happen or how the outcome's going to be, but God, I'm trusting you, and you're going to do it. It's not for money, and thank God we're not doing it in a Firebird. We're doing it with chariots behind us. And then you say, I'm going for it, and it's blast off time. And you just abandon all, you yield it, and you trust God wherever we're going, how you want to go it, and hallelujah, here we go, hallelujah. And man, when you do, God's jets break through. You don't know that power until you yield, and then, and up you're going. And then you find yourself, whoa, man, but how am I going to land? Is this all going to turn out all right? I'm in the middle of this thing now. There's no quitting. You're just going to have to trust God, because there's nothing else to do but trust him to the end, and he's going to bring the answer. So if you can imagine, remember my prayer, I see this scene in my head. I mean, you know, I'm just like, whoa, you know, I mean, it's like, it must be God. I don't know. But the people of this church, you see, made a decision. Nothing happens until we make a decision. Nothing. It's not going to happen. And the things that God had and the things he wants to do and to show himself strong as we respond, it's not going to happen. It comes with a decision because we believe God's word. And that's what happened with people in this congregation. When they made a decision, we're taking a step of faith. How am I ever going to pay this pledge? I've made a commitment. I'm going to do it. I don't know how it's going to happen, but I'm trusting God. I'm in the air, and he's going to see it through. And we raised $9 million. And we've never done that as a church. Why? Because people had faith. They saw the vision, and they were willing to make a decision and commit themselves to the Lord. Now, my next word is opposition. Watching that video, we could call it collision. Just because you're in the will of God and moving toward your destined vision, that does not mean you won't have huge obstacles, delays, challenges, problems, and trouble. I want you to know there's a real enemy. And when we step out in faith, you ever heard that expression? New levels, new devils. I mean, don't be fearful. I want to remind you. You know, we do have opposition from an enemy, but what? But greater is he that's in me than he that is in the world. Say it with me together. But greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. Moses obeyed God. What happened when he did? Man, he faced a stubborn, hard-hearted Pharaoh, a dead end at the Red Sea. He went into the wilderness 40 years walking in faith. This is the answer to my faith. No food, no water, poisonous snakes, murmuring rebellious people. If I had to choose, I think I know which one I choose. David. He responded in faith. You know, he was anointed to be king. What happened? King Saul tried to kill him 21 times. Yeah. He was hunted down like a dog by King Saul for 15 years while he was in the will of God, hiding in caves before the vision, before that destiny was fulfilled. Joseph, he had dreams and visions. And in the will of God, he was hated by his brothers when he shared them. He was betrayed by them. He was then sold into slavery and then falsely accused and put in prison. He had tribulation for 13 years because of vision and obedience to God. And then the vision was fulfilled and established the future posterity of Israel and the promises that he gave. Trouble? Yeah. What about Saul? What about Peter? Man, God's mighty men, New Testament apostles, you know. I mean, they're walking in faith. They're walking in God's will. They're walking in obedience to the vision. I mean, talk about trouble, trials, challenges, setbacks, tribulation, persecution. Oh, they must not be in the will of God. Man, you don't understand this faith walk. And the Lord uses those very things. No wonder Peter could write with confidence about those things because he'd been there. He went through it. As he wrote in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 6 through 7, wherein you greatly rejoice, now for a season. I always like that it says for a season, not your whole life. If need be, you are in heaviness through manifold trials is literally what the word means. That the test of your faith being much more precious than of gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire, might be found to praise and honor before our Lord. So we can give in and quit when the pressure comes and the trials and opposition, or we can press in and win. We choose. And the very trials that came to us, all those things that happened, that's how we increase our faith. That's the way God exercises your faith muscle. And so, man, when everything's coming in on you, you know, we can quit, or what can we do? We can press in. We can push. We can get into the Word. We can begin to fast. We can begin to pray. We can seek God with all of our heart. You know, there's a yieldedness. There's a surrender. God shines light in our hearts as we humble ourselves. We put all our trust in Him. That then as we do that, what happens? You know, that faith begins to build in our heart as we're built up, as this Lord responds to us, as we're digging to God. That when I'm weak, that's when I become strong. It's always been in that battle. It's always been there that my faith has increased. I have not grown when I've been on the mountain. I've always grown in the valley when the pressure is on. That's when my faith becomes real to me. Because I see God's faithfulness. You've always said, I don't want to take counsel from somebody that read out a textbook. I mean, that's good. I want to take counsel from somebody that's been there and that has had God respond, and they can tell me how their faith overcame that, and they can help me and encourage me to walk through it. Amen. Hello. Amen. So when we come to the place to say, man, this is too big, this is too much, that's when God responds to our faith as we really seek the Lord. So this is a time for us as a church to seek God in unity. This is time for us to dig in with all of our hearts. And that the challenge is going to be for the next 28 days, we're going to hand out those devotionals next Sunday. And then we're going to seek the Lord. And we're going to do it all of our heart. Today, there are team brochures that are in the pews, and there's things that you can sign up for to be a part of Destiny Next Chapter in this faith challenge. And the thing that all of us can do, we can pray. There's not one person in this room, young, old, whatever, it doesn't matter. Rich, poor, what, it doesn't matter. We can all pray. And Dwight Brown is the chairman of this faith team or this prayer team, and his goal is to have 1,000 people on this prayer team. Man, there's a power demonstrated. And every event we have, that prayer team kicks in. And then we're going to hold it up in prayer. And then we're going to see God do it instead of doing it in our flesh. Push. P-U-S-H. Pray until something happens. Push. Right? Push. What happens when you're having a baby? Ladies, what happens? You push. You push. You pray? Yep, you're going to pray. But you push until something happens. Okay, so let me ask you this. If there's complications in the pregnancy, you know, do you give up? You say, well, this is a bad idea. Man, I'm running into trouble here. I quit. Enough of this pushing stuff. If there's some complications and you have increased medical expenses, do you say, well, that's it, man. Forget it. This is just too much. I don't want to have to pay more money for this baby. Man, all they can do is dirty their pants and puke all over the place anyway. So, you know, just, I don't, you know, what happens? That's not what happens at all. You want, you man, you're going to go for it. You're going to do whatever you can to bring forth this precious life that's so dear to you. Is that right? What, all you ladies, what, are you like children out? I mean, you know, you're kind of like, I'm not clapping. I don't want any more, you know. Well, I want you to know, church, we're having a baby. We're having a baby. I want, look out there. The head's coming out. Look at it. It's coming. Talk about having to stretch and labor pains. Whoa, man. Birthing all that steel and cement. Now, I want you to understand what I'm about to say, but what's being birthed out there may be more important than natural birth. Listen, if natural birth comes and that person does not get saved, it would have been better if they never would have been born at all. Is that right? So what we're birthing is spiritual life for lost. The man must be born again to enter into the kingdom of God. That's what's happening. And that's why the enemy doesn't like it. Because he knows we're going to affect many, many people. We know that there are young people out there. They need Jesus so bad. On every side of them, there it is. Pornography, just right in front of them. It comes out on the screen. They can pick it up, you know, about any electrical device they today. When the person that's the one that's really into this stuff is an 11-year-old, there's something wrong. Fornication with young kids now, drugs, all the other problems, all the stuff that's happening. They hear it in the music. They see it, you know, the language, the stuff, the other kids, the peer pressure. They do not have a chance except by the grace of God. And that God moves on some people to do something and not do. And they just sit in our pews and praise God and be really good people. Or we can make something happen, saints. We can move forward and not be satisfied the way things are. You know, I mean, it's good in here. I want you to have some faith, though, when you see this thing packed out with kids, when they're worshiping God with all their strength. And the things are happening, they're turned on to Jesus. If you don't think that's a reality, you can go see what's going on with our high school kids and our junior high kids right now and the passion they have to worship God. And they have more passion to worship God than we do. They all go out and fall on their knees, praise God, and lift their hands, sing with all their might. But we can't be satisfied with what we have. So we're talking about touching kids that are young now. Man, well, there's still a chance. When 4% of this upcoming generation are the ones that say that they're Bible-believing, only 4% claim to be born again and Bible-believing. 96% of the kids coming up don't know Jesus. What is our world going to be like in the future if the morality of our world is like it is today? We've got to do something, church. We just can't continue to do business as usual and kind of a maintain mentality. So we're going to push. That's what this is all about. We cannot quit. So there's opposition. So what? No wonder there's opposition. We're going to change lives. Devil doesn't like it. He's mad at you. He doesn't like you. He doesn't even want you to go to this church. He doesn't want you to hear about this. Just go someplace where you're comfortable and nobody bothers you at all. Just, you know, if you sleep through church, nobody even bothers you. Like the one I was raised in. But I want you to know, this is God's vision. This is God's project. It's not ours. See, he's the one that started. He's the one that's going to finish it. Yes, we do have responsibility, but God's going to do this thing, and we've got to put our faith in him and seek him and not quit. Faith does not quit. When it doesn't feel right, faith does not quit. When there's circumstances that are against you, faith does not quit. When people are critical, faith does not quit. When there's not provision, faith does not quit. No matter what the circumstances, what we feel or see, the word is working mightily in me. Faith does not quit. Say it. Faith does not quit. Faith doesn't quit. And here's the next word. It's determination. It's that very trial as we seek God that we meet God there. It's in our weakness that we're made strong. It happens as individuals. It happens with us as a church as we seek the Lord. Say, God, you're going to have to do this thing. And that we really take this seriously and seek the Lord. Then comes a new determination that's birthed out of the faith that rises up in our hearts as God meets us. And that the Lord, you see, does something in a special way. That trial of our faith actually produced a faith that brought us through. Without faith, it's what? Impossible to please God. This is where we are as a church. I want you to see this. This is not just some message to tickle your ears today. This is a message that's going to determine our destiny and your destiny and what God wants to do in your life. Here's the next word. It's provision. Or a solution. Or salvation. Or intervention. But when you have that faith, when you go through the trials and you pray and you seek God and you pour it out, and then comes this faith that God's going to do it, and we get our second wind, and the Lord responds to it, and he provides for us. And then we see the breakthrough. See the breakthrough in your marriage. You see the breakthrough in what's happening with your health. You see the breakthrough in your finances. Breakthrough that starts to happen with your kids. So I'm standing. When God responds to that faith and things begin to take place. See, God flexes his muscle in answer to your prayers. Because you're standing in faith and believing in the Lord. Come hell or high water. And there's the last word. It's the word celebration. There is an end. There's a victory. You know, God doesn't keep us hanging our whole life. You understand that God brings about a victory. That the Lord responds to the faith of his people, and he doesn't give visions that will never be fulfilled. God, when he brings a vision and people respond, God is going to bring that vision to pass. It's true of the church itself, the whole church. The gates of hell will never prevail against it. The Lord said, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. That's the word. That's the proclamation. That's the vision. And man, by faith, we see the church on the other side at the marriage supper of the Lamb. Multitudes, 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 multitudes praising God. And I'm going to be there one of these days, and so are you. And back in that hospital bed, I knew I was going to be there. What else can I do in my life? I'm going to face him someday. It's reality. But to walk in obedience to that vision. So is this project too much for God to do? Is the fulfilling of his vision and destiny impossible? I don't remember, it's his. It belongs to him, not us. Anything God asks us to do, he's going to do it. If we put our trust in him, not give up. So I believe that the Lord has us exactly where he wants us to be. Man, this is really big. bigger than I thought. God says, yeah. Without me, you can't do it. And if we can, it's really not a project that God's even worthy of. If we can do it ourselves, what kind of glory is in it for God if we can just do it? God always gives us projects we can't do, and then we have to trust on Him, and then when the victory comes, He gets the glory, and we praise God because we see His faithfulness. So that's where we are, except through Him. And that God wants all of us to seek Him, take heart, to have faith, to obey Him. And man, we're going to give God glory. And you know, that's when you see it happen. See, because we're going to experience miracles. Miracles don't come, you know, unless you come to that place out there on the edge where the rockets fire and expect a miracle. Because now you've put yourself in a miracle situation. I just want to play it safe. Well, then you're never going to see a miracle. God will respond because He always does. And He always does more than you think He's going to do. For God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all we ask or think according to the power of faith that's in us. It is an awesome faith adventure. Man, I wouldn't have it any other way. What a boring life it would be. Just play it safe. You stand before God. He says, what'd you do? Oh, nothing. I just wanted to play it safe. Moses didn't play it safe. Abraham didn't play it safe. Joshua, Caleb, they didn't play it safe. Paul didn't play it safe. Peter didn't play it safe. And you can go on and on and on and on. Do you see the vision? Do you see the vision? It's not about a building. Deborah and I, it's never been about a building. It's about what's going to happen through that building. That's the vision. I see it. I see that place full, and I see people at that altar. We've made a way for it to be more room at the altar, because, man, I just see more people coming up. There's going to be times there's so many people that come up there. So together, in our faith, in our obedience, we can impact and help to change this community, Tampa Bay area, and the world. And that's always been our vision. It's already happened, but it's not enough. We already have missionaries out there. We're already giving money to missions. It's not enough. I cannot be satisfied. I got to run this race till I'm done. How about you? So you're going to put your jogging suits on. You're going to run with me. We're going to see this thing through. We stand in. Can you say praise the Lord for it? God's going to do it. Get ready. God's going to do it. Hallelujah. I want you to get ready. Make a decision, then get ready for some opposition, but have a new determination to seek God in faith, and you're going to see things break through in your life, and we're going to experience some miracles. And man, we are going to celebrate, and I'll tell you right now, when we move in there and dedicate that building, we are going to celebrate and rejoice in the goodness of God and give Him the glory. Father, I thank You, Lord, for what You're doing. God, it's humbling to be a part of what You're doing. Who are we that, Lord, You would use us as men and women? God, what a God. Lord, we love You. We thank You. We thank You, Lord. Yes, a responsibility, but privilege. What a privilege. Lord, we can't do it. We put our trust in You. We put our dependence in You. I pray, Lord, that by Your Spirit, faith is going to rise in the hearts of men and women all over this church. I pray that not one person is not going to seek You in these 28 days. And Lord, we are going to see breakthrough in our lives, our families, with our children, health, finances, and in this church, that we're going to enter in a new place with You, that You're going to pour out a rain of Your Spirit. I thank You, Lord Jesus. I thank You right now for the fruit. I see, Lord, the blessing. I see, Lord, the vision completed. And God, I pray You would take fear out of hearts. I pray that You would grip us, Lord, even as Paul, with the cries of the lost. We're going to be Your children, and we're going to be faithful, and we're going to let our lives count. In Jesus' name. Now, Lord, we commit it to You. to your strength, to your faithfulness, to your power. In the name of Jesus. Well, heads are bowed and eyes are closed just for a moment. If you're here today, maybe you're a guest or visitor, you know, I'm talking to our church family. But what this is all about is for people to meet him. You know, when I was in church as a kid, I just thought this was all, you know, kind of stuffy. It was just, you know, these people that, you know, you had to live a certain way and kind of be squeaky clean. And it's kind of like everything I like to do, they didn't like. And I thought, man, I'm just not ready for this. I didn't realize it was a true relationship that I was going to meet God. I didn't realize who he was and what he was. I had no idea. I really didn't know he was alive. I mean, yeah, I heard the story. I didn't believe it. It just wasn't reality. And that I didn't know it was a gift that he was going to come and live in me and didn't have anything to do with my good works at all. He loved me the way I was and accepted me the way I was, and that he paid the price for every sin I'd ever committed. And that he's paid the price for every sin you've committed. That God himself became a man, Emmanuel, God with us, to suffer, to pay the price, to pay the penalty for sin. That all my sin was laid on him. He took it all. And that God the Father was satisfied. The price has been paid in full for every sin of my life. And when I turned to him, I said, Lord, forgive me. And he forgave me of all my sins. Gone. He doesn't even remember them. I'm clean, pure, righteous, justified means just as if I've never sinned at all. In God's eyes, it's just I've never sinned at all. That my life is hid with Christ in his righteousness. Oh, awesome. You never understand it until it happens. And it can happen. And the only way it happens is through spiritual birth, through new birth. To when we say, Lord, forgive me. And we believe in our heart, confessing with our mouth, he's the Lord, and invite him in our heart. He comes in and he sends his spirit in us. You're going to experience him. This is not just a certain way to believe. It's an experience. You're going to meet him. You can be raised in church your whole life and never have it. Or you can be out there in all the sin of the world and say, how could God ever love me? He loves you. He died for all those sins, man, that you and me committed. And today you can meet him and experience him. I tell you, the people that have been out in all the sin, see, they already know they need a Savior. The people that have a harder time finding Jesus are people that are raised in church and think they're good. They think, I don't really need a Savior because I'm good. But we've all sinned. There's not one that hasn't. And if you today say, Pastor John, I know I need him. I want to know God's plan. I want to know the destiny he has for my life. I know I won't be fulfilled until I find out God's plan for my life. That's why he has me here. I want you to lift your hand and say, Pastor, will you pray for me? And if you've never asked Christ come in your life, and you say, will you pray for me? Do you open your heart? Thank you. I see your hand. And if you look at me when you raise your hand, and then when I see you, you can put it down. Thank you so much. Who else today? Thank you. I see your hand there in the back. Who else? You just slip your hand when I see it, you can put it down. Thank you. I see your hand. Who else? Thank you. I see your hand in the overflow. Who else in the overflow? Just slip your hand up and say, pray for me. Yes, right here. Thank you, sir. Who else today? Thank you, I see your hand. Yes, sir. Thank you, I see your hand. Where in the back there? Thank you, I see your hand. Thank you. God bless you. Is there anyone else? I'm thinking God's knocking at the door of your heart. But you have to open the door. You have to make a decision. Nothing will happen until you make that decision. I see your hand. You heard the word. It's true. You can put your trust in it. But you've got to make a decision. You can believe in Jesus, but without the decision, nothing's going to happen. Father, I pray for those that raise their hands today. They're going to leave this place. They're going to know that they know you've done it. You're in their heart. That you're real. They have eternal life. Your spirit's within them. And it's going to be by your spirit. It's going to be by your strength. Lord, you said if any man be in Christ, he becomes a new creation. The old things are passed away. Everything becomes new. Their whole life in your eyes, God, is new. They become your child, daughter, son, clean, as if there's no sin at all. And that you're going to begin to unfold who you are in this awesome plan, this destiny, in Jesus' name. Let's stand to our feet. And please, right now, without moving to interrupt, because there are just so many things that are going on here in this room. It's just too important for you to interrupt them. If you raised your hand, I want to invite you. We're going to do it God's way. That's the way we do it. That's what we're saying when we become a Christian. Lord, I'm willing to do it your way now. You become the Lord. I'm getting off this throne, and I'm asking you to take over this throne of my heart. It's not working my way. That's what I said. God, it's not working my way. I'm ready to do it your way. And so it says if we're going to be saved, that we believe in our heart, confess with our mouth. It says if we confess him before men, he'll confess before the Father. It's like a public profession because it's humbling. That's what happens. We're getting off this throne. We're saying, I humble myself. I need you. And so the Lord doesn't say to give money or to wear certain clothes or go to this church, that church, or any of that. But he says, ask for forgiveness of your sins, confess with your mouth, turn. Ask the Lord to come, trusting in him. And that's what we're going to do now. And I'm going to stand here, and every person that raised their hand, everyone, I want to invite you to come, your own free will, but you're not going to get up and have to say anything for the church, but it's just in your coming. You're saying, I need him, I admit it before this congregation. And as you come, there's going to be people at our church that are leadership. They're going to come just stand behind you. You're going to have a chance then to speak with them. They're going to pray with you, and you're going to leave here feeling better than when you came in. I promise you that. It's going to happen. How many of you, church, that's exactly what you did, that you asked the Lord to come into your heart, you confessed him before men, and then the Lord came into your life. Let me see your hands. And I know that's the way it works, isn't it? So God's going to do it. He's going to keep his word. So wherever you are, if you raise your hand, just come on right now. We're going to be excited. We're going to welcome you, your family. They're coming already.